Kapila Muni has described to Devahuti the process of removing the ignorance which binds, traps the conditioned soul. So towards that end, he has described the soul's entanglement in the material energy, and that there are 25 elements of the energy of, and the consciousness of the soul is full of those material elements, which actually has nothing to do with his pure consciousness. And we see that practically. Consciousness, again, is like light or illumination. And if our consciousness is material, or it's like our eyesight, consciousness is the symptom of the soul by the means which the soul becomes aware of something, in the same way that our eyes are used to, so that by virtue of our eyes we become aware of the objects of form, the sense objects of form. So when we look around and we see the different forms of the material world, all we see is matter, because the consciousness is expressed through matter. And if we extracted the matter that we're seeing from our consciousness, what would we see? Practically speaking, what would we see?
Darkness.
We'd see nothing. Oh, darkness. So if one is seeing nothing, and one is judging one's existence by what one is perceiving, one will perceive himself as nothing. Something like that. So because of Devahuti, she's seeing two things. She's heard about the soul's incredible entanglement since the beginning of time, practically speaking. Well, before that, forever, practically speaking, the soul has been entangled in matter. And how are we going to separate it? And if the separation would occur, would the soul even exist? Just like now, we think about our qualities, who we are. And we say that those qualities are conditioned. They're our karma. So, I'm half left-handed, half right-handed. I write with my left hand. I do a lot of things with my right hand. So that's a quality I have. I have a particular accent, a particular voice, a particular type of nose, ears, intelligence, sense of humor. This skill, that debility, I get angry at this. If you push this too far with me, I'll get very upset. These are all my qualities, and these are conditions. So if those are removed, well, then what's left? Nothing, it seems. So Devahuti is asking, how is it possible, practically speaking? Because the soul and matter are so intertwined, how can we separate them? And if we do separate them, first of all, how can we separate them? And if we do, it doesn't seem like there's anything left of the soul. So therefore, Prabhupada explains in the purport that this question is quite voidistic. And the question she asks, after hearing this from her son about the material nature and the process of extricating the soul through the great intelligence, she says, "My dear Brahmana, my son, does material nature ever give release to the spirit soul? The entanglement is so intricate Does it ever give release? And since one is attracted to the other eternally, how is their separation possible? How is it even possible? So Prabhupada, we'll read a little of the purport. We're going to read some of quite a few purports in this one. So everyone listen carefully to these purports. The question itself is wonderful and the answer is wonderful and very, very direct. How we can get out of matter, free ourselves from the entanglement of matter. And why do we wish to free ourselves from the entanglement of matter? There's answers to that question on many different levels. On one, on a basically a selfish level, we want to get free from matter, the entanglement of matter, because matter makes us suffer. Not exactly matter makes us suffer, but be entangled in the material energy that causes our suffering, the entanglement which is caused by the spirit of enjoyment. That makes us suffer. So to break that would be in our own great self-interest, our best self-interest. And also, it is our natural position as souls. We are meant to be entangled in spiritual, the eternal, and it is very unnatural. Something's wrong when we're entangled in this realm of matter, in the temporary. And no one feels quite comfortable. And therefore, as soon as the child is born, first thing is crying. Because it's uncomfortable. It's not right. Something's not right. Well, our longings are eternal. And what we get is temporary. Something is not right. Something about the fact that our eternal, our longings are eternal, speak to the point that we are eternal. It's natural. So Prabhupada explains. Devahuti, the mother of Kapiladev, here makes her first inquiry. Although one may understand that spirit, soul, and matter are different, their actual separation is not possible, either by philosophical speculation or by proper understanding. Just understanding, oh, I'm not my body. Doesn't separate the body from the soul. The spirit soul is the marginal potency of the Supreme Lord, and matter is the external potency of the Lord. The two eternal potencies have somehow or another been combined, entangled, interwoven. And since it is so difficult to separate one from the other, how is it possible for the individual soul to become liberated? This is how it feels, how it's so difficult. We know this is right. We know, at least to some degree, to differing degrees, that we're not our bodies, that we're souls. But how to separate that soul, the consciousness, from this very, very complicated entanglement? That's the question. How is their separation possible? Because he's explained it very intellectually. Kapila Muni has. So, and she gives an example. As there is no separate existence of the earth and its aroma, or of water and its taste, there cannot be any separate existence of intelligence and consciousness. So intelligence, we heard, is one of the material elements. Buddhi. It is created of matter, and yet the soul is always expressed through the intelligence. And he's explained something very intellectually, Kapila Muni has. And with matter, with the intelligence which is material, we're going to extricate ourselves from matter? How can that be? How can matter be used to extricate ourselves from matter? How is that the weapon to cut us off from matter? How is this possible? 19. Hence, even though he is the passive performer of all activities, in other words, the material nature is acting upon us, and our desire is there, How can there be freedom for the soul as long as material nature acts on him and binds him? Srila Prabhupada's purport. Although the living entity desires freedom from the contamination of matter, he is not given release. Actually, as soon as a living entity puts himself under the control of the modes of material nature, his acts are influenced by the qualities of material nature, and he becomes passive. It is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Prakriti Kriyamanani Gunai Kamani Sarvasha. The living entity acts according to the qualities or modes of material nature. He falsely thinks that he is acting, but unfortunately he is passive. We are being acted upon by the modes of material nature in an illusion. We are thinking that we are doing everything. Kartaham iti manyate hankara vamudatma, bewildered by false ego, by illusion, by misidentification. Kartaham, he's thinking. Iti manyate, he's thinking. Kartaham, I am the one who's doing everything. But it's just the material nature forcing us. If you want to make an experiment, if you think that you're the one who's doing everything, just stop. See how long you can stop doing anything. Don't do anything. Don't move. Yeah, no, you looked. You moved. Don't move. Don't think. Stop your thoughts. Stop moving. Stop breathing. Oh, don't stop breathing. Otherwise, Sasha, don't stop breathing. You can't. We can't stop acting even a moment, even a second. Against our will. It's like the people who smoke cigarettes, who don't want to admit that they're addicted. They say, I smoke because I like to smoke. But just, you can say that, you want to smoke, but just try and stop, and you'll see that you can't. So are you actually smoking because you want to, or are you being controlled by something external? So at every step we're conditioned. Conditioned means controlled by something. Conditioned means that we are not independent. That's what condition means. We are being controlled by prakriti kriyamanani gunai, by the three modes of material nature. We're being controlled so heavily. Just don't get angry anymore. Just don't get depressed anymore. Don't get happy. Don't fill your mind with desires and run and run and run. We can't. We're being controlled. But the living entity, unfortunately, Prabhupada says, is passive. In other words, he has no opportunity to get out of the control of material nature because it has already conditioned him. So if we're controlled at every moment, how can we get out? Especially, we don't have any means to get out. That's her question. So as long as material nature acts on him and binds him, how can there be freedom for the soul? Because even when he's thinking, oh, I'm going to do something that's going to get me out, that's all within the prison. So her questions are very heavy. Kachit tadva mamarshena nivritam bhayamulvanam anivrita nimattatvat puna pratyavatishtate. Kachit, in a certain case, tattva, the fundamental principles, amvarasena, by reflecting upon, nivritam, avoided, bhayam, fear, ulbanam, great, anivrita, not ceased, nimattattvat, since the cause, puna, again, pratyavatishtate, it appears. So in a certain case, kratchit, tattva, the fundamental principles, Because he's in the previous chapter, he's discussed these 25 fundamental principles of material existence. So in certain cases, these fundamental principles, amarshena, nivritam, we avoid them by reflecting upon them. Through the intellectual process, we may be able to discern that we have nothing to do with these fundamental principles, these material elements, that we are separate, we are souls. Bhayam obanam, but even though we think we may be free from the great fear of material bondage by such reflection, ani vritta nimittatvat, still the cause of our being in the material elements has not been removed. Ani vritta nimittatvat puna pratyavatishtate. Puna means again. So again, therefore, pratyavatishtate, the same entanglement will appear. So this is another question. It seems, how am I going to get out? Because I'm not dealing, I can intellectually understand that I have nothing to do with this material energy, but the reason why I'm in it, in the material energy, has not been removed. So therefore, I'll naturally entangle myself in the material energy again. That's our question. Isn't that true? So Prabhupada translates this verse as, even if the great fear of bondage is avoided by mental speculation and inquiry into the fundamental principles. So using the intelligence, one can inquire, as was done in the previous chapter, the fundamental principles of material nature. One can inquire about the material world and therefore understand it, and therefore intellectually extricate himself from it. It may still appear again, because since its cause has not ceased. We'll read the first paragraph of this. Material bondage is caused by putting oneself under the control of matter. Why? Why do we do this? What is the thing that we have, that we do, that puts us under the control of matter? Because of the false ego lording it over material nature. That is the essence of false ego. It wants to lord it over, control, exploit, enjoy material nature. It is a reflection of the soul's consciousness in matter and illusion. Bhagavad Gita 7:27 states, Icha dvesha samutena. Two kinds of propensities arise in the living entity. So as soon as we want to enjoy this world, two tendencies come to our mind. Icha and dvesha. I want that, I want it. And I don't want that. One propensity is icha, which means desire to lord it over the material nature or to be as great as the Supreme Lord. Everyone desires to be the greatest personality in this material world. What do you think about that statement? Everyone desires to be the greatest personality in this material world. And everyone, as much as they are able to, expands and fulfills that desire to be all-powerful. And if someone has very good karma, one can expand that tendency up to the point where you can control everything practically in the world, like one of the demigods, or we can see on this planet. Some personalities are so powerful, they've amassed so much power coming from their punya, their sukriti, their good karma, that they can control so much of the world. So that's icha, desire to become bigger and bigger and more powerful and control. And dvesha means envy. When one becomes envious of Krishna or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one thinks, Why should Krishna be the all in all? I'm as good as Krishna. These two items, desire to be the Lord and envy of the Lord, are the beginning cause of material bondage. As long as a philosopher, salvationist, or voidist has some desire to be supreme, to be everything, or to deny the existence of God, the cause remains, and there is no question of his liberation. Vimukti maninas, he becomes liberated in his mind only, and then avasuddha buddhaya, he falls down due to impure intelligence, this tendency to lord it over. So Devahuti very intelligently says, one may theoretically analyze and say that by knowledge he has become free, but actually, as long as the cause exists, he is not free. So what is that cause?
Wanting to be free.
No, wanting envy of Krishna. That's the problem. That's the cause of our being in the material world. Envy of Krishna and desiring to be the supreme. The cause of our wanting to be the cause of our being free is something else. So these are Devahuti's questions. Now Kapila Muni is going to respond. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. You know what that means? That Krishna, or Kapila Muni, Uvacha means said. So here's his response. This is what he says. One can get liberated. Liberation. So here, immediately he's going to say how one can get liberated. One can get liberation, or free from this incredible control, incredible entanglement. How? By seriously discharging devotional service unto me. Tivraya mayi bhaktyacha. And thereby hearing for a long time about me or from me. So devotional service, especially hearing about Krishna or from him. From him means Bhagavad Gita, about him means like Bhagavatam. By thus executing one's prescribed duties, there will be no reaction, and one will be free from the contamination of matter. Here is Srila Prabhupada's purport. Sridhar Swami comments in this connection that by association with material nature, alone, one does not become conditioned. Conditional life begins only after one is infected by the modes of material nature. If someone is in contact with the police department, that does not mean that he is a criminal. As long as one does not commit criminal acts, even though there is a police department, he is not punished. Similarly, the liberated soul is not affected, although he is in the material nature. So the soul being in material nature isn't sufficient. It's not sufficient to entangle him in material nature any more than the existence of the police and the honest citizens side by side mean that the citizens are going to be in trouble by the police. No, there is something that the citizen has to do to get him in trouble by the police. Of course, in some places in the world you don't have to do anything, but at least theoretically, just by the soul's being in the material, in the proximity of matter, it doesn't mean that he is going to be entangled in it. Even the Supreme Personality of Godhead is supposed to be in association with material nature when he descends, but he is not affected. One has to act in such a way that in spite of being in the material nature, he is not affected by contamination. That is our challenge, because we are surrounded by matter. But how to act in such a way that we don't become contaminated? Although the lotus flower is in association with water, It does not mix with the water, because the lotus flower, two reasons. Its stem takes it above the water, and also it has, the leaves have a waxy coating on them, so water just rolls right off of it. So that is how one has to live, as described by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kapiladeva. Animita nimittena svadharmen amalatmana. So one can be liberated. So how can we do this? This is the great question, the great dilemma. We are here in the world of matter. How can we live and be free from matter? One can be liberated from all adverse circumstances simply by seriously engaging in devotional service. How this devotional service develops and becomes mature is explained here. In the beginning, one has to perform his prescribed duties with a clean mind. Clean consciousness means Krishna consciousness. One has to perform his prescribed duties in Krishna consciousness. There is no necessity of changing one's prescribed duties. One simply has to act in Krishna consciousness. In discharging Krishna conscious duties, one should determine whether, by his professional or occupational duty, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is satisfied. In another place in the Bhagavatam, it is said, Svanusti tasya dhamasya sam sadhir haritoshanam. Everyone has some prescribed duties to perform, but the perfection of such duties will be reached only if the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, is satisfied by such actions. So this meditation alone will free us, meaning that it's sufficient. We heard yesterday also that just desiring to please Krishna is sufficient. Even if one can't serve him completely with the mind and the body and the senses and the intelligence, just desiring to do so is sufficient if the desire is pure and clean. For example, Arjuna's prescribed duty was what? To fight. And the perfection of his fighting was tested by the satisfaction of Krishna. Krishna wanted him to fight. So this is what the challenge is, or one of the main challenges. We should understand what situation we're in. We're all individuals. We have different duties. We have different responsibilities. Now, how to perform those duties in such a way that Krishna will be pleased? And how to do that better? How to do that cleanly, in clean consciousness? This is how the devotee thinks. I've been placed in this circumstance somehow or another. How can I make the best use of it so that Krishna is pleased? Krishna wanted Arjuna to fight, and when he fought for the satisfaction of the Lord, that was the perfection of his professional devotional duty. On the other hand, when, contrary to the wish of Krishna, he was not willing to fight, that was imperfect. If one wants to perfect his life, he should discharge his prescribed duties for the satisfaction of Krishna. One must act in Krishna consciousness. For such action will never produce any reaction. Animita namatena, that means one won't be entangled. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, yagya tat kramano netra. All activities should be performed simply for jagya, or the satisfaction of Vishnu. Anything done otherwise without satisfaction of Vishnu or jagya produces bondage. It entangles us. So here it is also prescribed by Kapila Muni that one can transcend material entanglement by acting in Krishna consciousness, which means seriously engaging in devotional service. This serious devotional service can be developed by hearing for long periods of time. chanting and hearing is the beginning of the process of devotional service. One should associate with devotees and hear from them about the Lord's transcendental appearance, activities, disappearance, instructions, etc. There are two kinds of shruti, or scriptures. One is spoken by the Lord, and the other is spoken about the Lord and his devotees. Bhagavad Gita is the former, and Srimad Bhagavatam the latter. One must hear these scriptures repeatedly from reliable sources in order to become fixed in serious devotional service. Through engagement in such devotional service, one becomes freed from the contamination of maya. It is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam that hearing about the Supreme Personality of Godhead cleanses the heart of all contamination caused by the influence of the three modes of material nature. So the soul, although surrounded by matter, can be aloof from matter if his consciousness becomes clean. If he doesn't act selfishly but acts for the pleasure of Krishna, he will be honest. He will be acting in an honest fashion, and therefore matter will not touch him. By continuous regular hearing, the effects of the contamination of lust and greed to enjoy or lord it over material nature diminish. And when lust and greed diminish, one then becomes situated in the mode of goodness. This is the stage of Brahman realization or spiritual realization. In this way, one becomes fixed on the transcendental platform. Remaining fixed on the transcendental platform is liberation from material entanglement. So Kapila Muni continues, this devotional service has to be performed strongly in perfect knowledge and with transcendental vision. One must be strongly renounced and must engage in austerity and perform mystic yoga in order to be firmly fixed in self-absorption. The influence of material nature has covered the living entity. So the soul is covered by these different elements, each one of us. And thus, it is as if the living entity were always in a blazing fire. But by the process of seriously discharging devotional service, this influence can be removed. Just as wooden sticks which cause a fire are themselves consumed by it. So there's a particular type of wood called Arani wood that the great sages in the early days, in the olden days, they would be very, very powerful. And just by reciting mantras, they would place the wood in a certain way and it would self-ignite. And then that the fire was within that caused the fire, the wood would itself be consumed by that very same fire. So that's the example. So fire is conserved in wooden sticks, but when circumstances are favorable, the fire is ignited. But the wooden sticks, which are the cause of the fire, are also consumed by the fire if it is properly dealt with. Similarly, the living entity's conditional life of material existence is due to his desire to lord it over material nature and due to his envy of the Supreme Lord. Thus, his main diseases are that he wants to be one with the Supreme Lord, or he wants to be the Lord, become the Lord of material nature. The karmis try to utilize the resources of material nature and thus become its lord and enjoy sense gratification. And the gyanis, the salvationists, who have become frustrated in enjoying the material resources, want to become one with the Supreme Personality of Godhead or merge into the impersonal effulgence. These two diseases are due to material contamination. Material contamination can be consumed by devotional service. Because in devotional service, these two diseases, namely the desire to lord it over material nature and the desire to become one with the Supreme Lord, are absent. Therefore, the cause of material existence is at once consumed by the careful discharge of devotional service in Krishna consciousness. So, it is like the desire for Krishna consciousness, even though we are in a material body and a material mind and are surrounded by the material elements, that desire begins to burn like the wood begins to ignite, because the fire is within wood. Because where does all fire come from in this material world? The sun. So, fire comes from the sun, and it is stored in wood, which is with trees. It absorbs the sunlight, and it stores that energy within it. And the fossil fuels, same thing. It is just storing the sunlight. Coal, all just storing the power of the sun. So how to bring it out? You need some more fire to bring it out. So the soul's fire, once it is invoked and it needs some external fire, we have to be in the association of hearing about Krishna, or chanting Krishna's name, hearing and chanting. That comes from outside, otherwise we don't know. Then by hearing and chanting, the soul's own natural fire begins to burn, and the subtle body is burnt up, and the gross body is burnt up by that, and the soul becomes free. And the thing that it is burnt is this enjoying spirit. That's the first thing. Or the desire to become one. These are the two great diseases. This is what is burnt. In other words, those desires no longer exist in the consciousness of the pure soul who has gone through this process of his desire to love and serve Krishna has inflamed. By discovering the faultiness of his desiring to lord it over material nature, and by therefore giving it up, the living entity becomes independent and stands in his own glory. So, on one, we have to do, there's two parts of the process in one sense. There's the negative and the positive. On one hand, we have to hear about the material world. We have to hear about it until we're so sick of hearing about how lousy and miserable the material world is, and how you can't be happy here, and you're going to die, and you get diseases, and blah, 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 blah. We have to keep hearing about it, because we have such a tendency to want to enjoy in the material world. So we keep repeatedly hearing about that, how it's just simply not possible for us to enjoy in the material world. We have to be reminded. But yet, if that's all we get, we'll have so many problems. Because just imagine all day long you're thinking about, I'm not going to enjoy in the material world. I'm not going to look at this. I'm not going to enjoy this. I'm not going to enjoy that. I'm not going to enjoy that. I want to enjoy it. You start thinking like that. Because by meditating on something in the negative, it turns positive. I'm not allowed to think about food. I'm not allowed to think about this. I'm not allowed to think about that. I'm not allowed to. And you'll end up thinking about it 24 hours a day. It's worse than you were before. So on one side we hear about it, about the miserable material world. But on the other side, we need something positive to think about it. That something positive is someone positive, and that someone positive is Krishna. Krishna and Krishna's names. And if we only have the negative side and we don't have the positive side, we will end up fully on the negative side. Very entangled. Of course, Krishna will help us, but we need that. We need to hear about Krishna. We need to hear about Krishna as devotees. We need the positive. So the living entity, how interesting it is when we give up, as this verse says, discovering the faultiness of his desiring to lord it over material nature. In other words, we're trying to be the Lord, and what happens? We end up being caught and entrapped and controlled. Instead of becoming the Lord, we become completely controlled by the material nature. So by giving up the desire, then the living entity becomes independent and stands in his own glory. That is transcendental servitude. When we serve Krishna, then the soul is actually free and independent. The word servant is a horrible word in the material world. No one wants to be a servant. Everyone wants to become as independent as possible. But the more independent we try to become, the more we end up serving. But when one actually becomes a full-fledged servant of Krishna, pure and clean-hearted, then one is free. And it's wonderful. Text 25. Some examples. So Kapila Muni is giving the example how the soul who is within the material nature, because this was Devahuti's question, how can the soul who is so trapped by material nature get out? So his answer is very much that just by changing his internal desire, even though he is surrounded by material nature, he will be out. He will be free. So here he gives another example. In the dreaming state, one's consciousness is almost covered, and one sees many inauspicious things. But when he is awakened and fully conscious, such inauspicious things cannot bewilder him. So one may be aware, I just dreamed this, and I dreamed this, had a nightmare last night. And you may even remember it, but you're not confused and bewildered by it or controlled by it, even though it's existing still, because you don't identify with it anymore. So what is that change of consciousness? What is the difference between, in the example, what is the difference between the awakeness and the sleepingness of the soul? In the sleepingness, he's dreaming so many things. What is the awakeness? And what is the sleepiness in this example? If we're awake, matter won't touch us. What is that awakeness? Prabhupada says it very concisely right in the middle of this purport. In contaminated consciousness, one sees everything to be for his own enjoyment. But in pure consciousness, or Krishna consciousness, he sees that everything exists for the enjoyment of the Supreme Enjoyer. That is the difference between the dream state and wakefulness. The state of contaminated consciousness is compared to dream consciousness, and Krishna consciousness is compared to the awakened stage of life. The influence of material nature cannot harm an enlightened soul. And what is enlightened? What is his enlightenment? He's not thinking again that he's the enjoyer of the material world. He's given up this tendency to dominate. He's engaged in Krishna's service. The influence of material nature cannot harm an enlightened soul, even though he engages in material activities, because he knows the truth of the Absolute and his mind is fixed on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When a person thus engages in devotional service and self-realization for many, many years and births, he becomes completely reluctant to enjoy any one of the material planets, even up to the highest planet, which is known as Brahmaloka. He becomes fully developed in consciousness. So just imagine what pure consciousness is. That there is no desire, completely reluctant to enjoy anything on any sphere, on any level of material enjoyment, even up to the highest of all possible levels of material enjoyment. Not interested. Not interested. He has no tendency. This is pure consciousness. So even if someone offered him the world or any worlds or universes, not interested. So imagine on the other side, that's what he's not interested in. But just imagine what he must be experiencing in his service to Krishna to effortlessly give up that type of enjoyment. Just imagine what he's experiencing. Prabhupada's purport. In material existence, when a devotee is not completely purified, he expects material benefit from the Lord in the form of relief from material miseries. Or he wants material gain, advancement in knowledge of the relationship between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity, or knowledge as to the real nature of the Supreme Lord. When a person is transcendental to these conditions, he is called a pure devotee. He does not engage himself in the service of the Lord for any material benefit or for understanding of the Supreme Lord. His one interest is that he loves the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he spontaneously engages in satisfying him. The highest example of pure devotional service is that of the gopis in Vrindavan. They are not interested in understanding Krishna, but only in loving him. That platform of love is the pure state of devotional service. Unless one is advanced to this, pure state of devotional service. Unless one is advanced to this pure state of devotional service, there is a tendency to desire elevation to a higher material position. The next to last set of verses. Kapila Muni continues. Actually become self-realized by my unlimited causeless mercy. Because all the devotee does is focuses his mind on Krishna and tries to serve Krishna. And on the other side, he gives up material service. So, and then Krishna, by his causeless mercy, he saves and brings up that devotee and gives him self-realization. Dadami buddhiyogam tam yena mamupyantita. And thus, when freed from all doubts, he steadily progresses towards his destined abode, which is directly under the protection of my spiritual energy of unadulterated bliss. That is the ultimate perfectional goal of the living entity. After giving up the present material body, the mystic devotee goes to that transcendental abode and never comes back. Devotional service is revealed to the pure devotee by the unlimited causeless mercy of the Lord. This is especially spoken of here by the Lord, Mat Prasadhena, by my special grace. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Only those who engage in devotional service with love and faith receive the necessary intelligence from the Supreme Personality of Godhead so that gradually and progressively they can advance to the abode of the Personality of Godhead. And the final verse in this chapter. When a perfect yogi's attention is no longer attracted by the byproducts of mystic powers, doesn't want even to become so powerful, which are manifestations of the external energy, his progress towards me becomes unlimited and thus the power of death cannot overcome him. And Prabhupada finishes off his purport to this verse and to this chapter in the last sentence in a very simple way. A devotee's attention is concentrated only upon the eternal loving service of the Lord, and therefore the power of death has no influence over him. In such a devotional state, a perfect yogi can attain the status of immortal knowledge and bliss. So how to execute, practically speaking, is given the background, how to focus the mind on Krishna, how to hear about Krishna, how to separate the knowledge that's required of the material energy, and how one doesn't have to externally change anything. One has to just simply change one's internal mood from exploitative to service. Now how to practically execute this, Kapila Muni will explain in the next chapter. Kapila Dev's instructions on devotional service. That's chapter 28. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments? All the fire in this material world. What is the relationship between? Can you answer? Where is the sun god getting his power from?
Krishna.
He's directly Krishna, Surya Narayan. And ultimately Agni will be getting his power from the same source. But it's a good, tricky question that I can't read. I don't know. Who is a higher god, sun god or Agni? Now, I have a better question. Now I have a question for you. What do I have in my hand?
Where was that
thinking? Huh?
Your visit.
Of my visit?
No.
But I asked him, you peeked. What is in my hand?
Something that you want to show to the devotees in the class.
Something I want to give to the devotees. The pictures of Giriraj. Because yesterday everyone was so, had so much fun worshipping Giriraj. I hope there's enough. Well, anyone want a picture of Giriraj? They're all different. Each one is different. See? But these are going to be slides that we're going to show. These are actually photos that I took of some slides. They're of different qualities. Anyway, and also here's some scent from Srila Prabhupada. I'm not actually from Srila Prabhupada, offered to Radha Shyama Sundar and everyone else. So, anyone want a picture of Giriraj? Yeah.